Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live. So glad you are here, and you could be here. You could also watch us on YouTube. We're right there on the New Life Live channel. When I talk about us, talking about Becky Brown and Milan Yurkovich are on the program today, and you could see them on your YouTube channel. Hi, guys.
Hey, Steve.
Hi.
Great to be with you. Hi, Becky.
Hi, Milan. Happy New Year. I know we've already passed the New Year, but I'm still in the mood to say Happy New Year.
Oh, that's good. Anything?
Yeah,
else?
I mean,
anything
it,
else
it
you
really...
wanted to announce you're in a mood for? Or...
yeah,
to help some people, we're going to get some calls.
All
in today, right.
Right, here we go.
Yeah, here's the number. I already got a call or two. Here's a number: 1-800-229-3000. If you want to be on the program, we're here literally for 2 hours, and really glad to get to do this. 1-800-229-3000 will give you the best advice possible. It's really what we're trying to do here is help you in a very short length of time. It's not the same as, you know, therapy, but maybe there's some things that it would have taken you 6 months for somebody to talk to you about if you call us at 1-800-229-3000. We just had another great weekend. Maybe Larry can share with us later about Every Man's Battle. But I hope and pray that you will pray for those guys that came, because there were a lot of them. And by the way, this weekend I'm going to be out in Mesa, Arizona at Trinity Church in Mesa. And they've already got 300 guys signed up for a Saturday night barbecue. Must be really good barbecue, because I'm
that
the speaker.
Fun.
So, I'd love to see you if you're out there. It's a great, great church. And if you're in that area, come join us over there. And then, before we go to a break, I want to clarify something. Our workshops that we do, we call them intensives, because they're not workshops. And they're expensive, and there's a reason. And that's because we don't just have people talk. Talk is cheap. Mostly. But we have real live licensed clinical counselors that you break up into groups, and you are with them in a group process after you hear someone speak. And so we have to essentially pay the equivalent of what that counselor would earn in a day. And so that really drives up the price. If you're staying at a hotel and we've got the meeting rooms and all that, that makes it more expensive. Online, it's expensive because we're using counselors, not just people that give some kind of information. But the combination of the lecture and then working, not just discussing, but working on your individual areas, it really is powerful. And that's what we're going to do on the 29th of January for our parenting seminar. It's all about adult children. And Jim Burns, who wrote the book Doing Life with Your Adult Children, subtitled Keep Your Mouth Shut and the Welcome Mat Out, we're all going to be there. And it's going to be a powerful, powerful workshop. And then you get to talk about your situation.
Right, counselor. Steve, that's exactly the point of those groups. I have worked in so many of them, and it's amazing the response that the attendees have when they hear other people share their story, and they say, oh, yeah. Me too. I've got something similar, and I didn't know anybody else was dealing with it. So if you have even thought just a half a second about coming to one of our workshops, make the decision. It could make all the difference in the world.
It's called Fearless Parenting. That's the series, and this one is on adult children. I think you're really going to like it. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. Phone calls are at 1-800-229-3000. Mylon Yurkovich, Becky Brown, Steve Arterburn here. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back and really grateful for all of you who listen and watch and pray for us. My assistant had emergency appendectomy this weekend. Pray for her. And Alice got a child that's sick. That's why she's not with us today. And Mylon, he's healthy. That's a good thing. And I don't know if Laura's healthy or not, but she's a member of Club New Life, and we're going to go to her from Los Angeles, and she listens on KKLA. Hey, how are you?
I'm great, thank you, and I am healthy. I just saw my cardiologist last week who said, you're going to be 70, but you look like you're 50. So I love that.
Well, is just such a great thing. Yeah, that's wonderful.
Thank you. I'm a long-time listener. I've been to many of your workshops, have met all of you, and I just love your program, and I have grown so much over the years. And I'm calling today because, and I'm glad Becky is on today in place of Alice, because last week, Becky, Mylon, and Alice were on. There was a caller who called about his 14-year-old daughter, and Mylon asked the question if she was an artist. And that, I listened to the call. A lot of the things that were said in the call related to me when I was younger, and my question is, are there characteristics of an artist's temperament in the way that it relates to how we love?
What a question. What do you think, Mylon? Married to an artist, by the way.
I am.
Kay is an amazing, amazingly talented artist.
My son also is very artistic. Thank you for your call.
Yes, you had mentioned that too.
Yes.
And I'm a musician, so that was, I always thought that I had an artist temperament, and I wondered whether that, I've also read How We Love, but I didn't see anything about an artist temperament in that, so I was very curious. It's affected my relationships over the years.
How so?
Well, some of the things the dad said about the daughter not having a lot of close friends in school. Mm-hmm. I've had some communication issues with some of my friends. I have also felt that I was not fully understood by friends and family. I've done some work with the Amen Clinic and one of the New Life therapists, so I've learned a lot about why I am the way I am, but I've always been curious about, no one ever has ever said anything about artist temperament and how theater, artists, musicians, they're all people that sort of march to a different beat.
Well,
like
we
said.
We actually do talk about it in our book, How We Love Our Kids, because we're talking about, in that book, we talk about unique types of children. And we do talk about the artist type. But in the Myers-Briggs type indicator, which we use because it's very psychologically and clinically tested, and it has a worldwide base of business and university usage, and it's very well proven and very reliable testing, what we find out in that the introverted – and introverts are often not understood by their families because they're outnumbered by the extroverts. The introverted, intuitive, the people that are thinking creatively and really also thinking in the future and moving toward what could be. And then feelers, oftentimes, because they feel what their movements are within their minds relative to the future and the possibilities. And then whether they are possibly also perceptive, which means they're flexible and spontaneous. And that particular one, or intuitive thinkers, really can be your more creative types. They are people, and they don't necessarily tie to attachment styles. This is something that is one of those layers that we look at people through a series of filters, if you will. Attachment style, love style being one of those, but also their typology or their temperament with the Myers-Briggs. So I just dated myself there, Becky.
And I remember that old test.
Yeah, remember that old test?
I'm in your age range, too.
Yeah. So anyhow, it is interesting. And if you read a book by Kiersey and Bates, Please Understand Me, and you look at the introverted, intuitive feelers, you'll read a lot about that particular subject.
Okay. So tell me what you think, Laura, you missed or it caused a problem for you because you had this artistic sensitivity or whatever. What did it cause for you?
Well, when I was younger, I didn't realize that it was that. But I can remember when I was in the sixth grade I had just moved to the area where I lived, and I didn't have a lot of friends. And I had one really close girlfriend, and then all of a sudden one day she never talked to me again.
Oh, boy.
And it really hurt me. This came up last week, too, so mm-hmm. that was another reason why I was prompted to call today.
Mm-hmm.
And I never understood. And then as the years went on, I would have maybe a close friend and then, you know, another close friend. But I never, I grew up with a role model of a mother that had her best friend for 50 plus years. So I guess I always thought, you know, that I would have friends for life. I do have some friends now that I've known for long term, but I never really connected in relationships. And I've been in a long-term relationship now, but we've had some communication problems over the years, and I sort of have attributed that to just being raised differently. But I've always wondered, especially when I was more active in the musical scene, and I was around a lot of musicians, that there just seemed to be an artist type temperament,
mm-hmm.
and I'm still working on why I am the way I am.
Let me just add one more thing, Laura. I don't want to, Becky, you were going to say something, but introverts process internally and they don't process out loud. They think about the question or the issue. Then they will give you an answer after they've really thought it through. A lot of extroverts just blow by them and never go back and ask them what do they think about that particular subject. And so we ask audiences all the time, how many of you are introverts? And they raise their hand and we say, now leave your hands up. And then we say, now how many of you felt understood by your families? And every hand goes down except for maybe one or two or three in the audience. Because families don't know how to connect with introverts because everybody's going too fast. They're completely outgunned by the extroverts. Becky, what were you going to say?
Well, part of this is a lot of people who are creative are very empathic.
Mm-hmm.
They just feel
mm-hmm.
a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would imagine, Laura, if you had a relationship that was disrupted at a young age, it may cause that thought process to occur. What's wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I connect?
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is that narrative continues to the present day, and you continue to look at others and say, you know, like you were talking about your mom having a best friend forever, and that was kind of modeled for you. So then because you don't have that there must be something wrong with you. And what I would encourage you to do is continue to do more work with understanding your attachment style, but also being able to find your voice, knowing that we, you know, there's a lot of folks that you're going to have one or two really close connections with people, but it may not even be for a long period of time. And that's okay. That's you. That's not your mom. But I just think sometimes we get real distressed because we are looking at things that we want, and it may not be what's going to work for us. I was kind of curious, Laura, are you still doing music? Is that still part of your daily routine?
Not as much, mainly because of the pandemic, but also I changed, this is really going to give away who I am. I changed fields and I went back to school 10 years ago and I'm almost finished and in a completely different degree.
Here's where I want to...
I still feel like I have the artistic personality, and a lot of what, Becky, what you said, bingo, a lot of what you said.
Well, another thing is every artist, of course, is different and unique depending on how you're raised and things that happen to you or things that you cause to happen to you. Trauma can impact everything, of course. And some artists that I've known are perfectionists and don't connect with people that don't have the same level of perfectionism also. Music is precise. It has a tempo. It has a note that needs to be hit. And things that aren't precise sometimes are difficult for artistic people. Other artists, like in painting or especially modern art, you know, it's all about whatever versus precision. And then one final thing, speaking from my own life, sometimes the artist can be all about the performance. And you perform on stage or at the recital or where, whenever you're asked to perform. And if you're not performing, you kind of feel like you're not really wanted or desired or accepted. It becomes all about performance, especially when the only thing you would get praised for is your performance. And so all of these things can impact us. Just to say, whatever is the reason, great to explore it. My word of the year is why. We need to look at why. And then we need to move right into what is it that I need to work on so that I can turn that why into something valuable for me that I can use with other people that might have the exact same or exact opposite why. Now, I'm going to send you a copy of this brand new 365-day life recovery prayer devotional, and it is really sweet. I'm just talking with a recovering friend this morning about how it's got a great quote that you'll want to remember. It's got verse, a devotional thought, a great scripture. You're really going to love this, and we're giving it to everybody that supports us in any way, but I'll send it to you. And thank you for supporting us over the years and being a Club New Life member, and I hope this new degree and all of that works out. Yes, Becky?
Well, I was just going to say recovery is a great place to start, too, Laura, on this journey. You know, just beginning to understand yourself and creating serenity in your life is that process. I love that idea of that book. I can't wait to get mine.
Well, it's on its way because you're a member of Club New. Hey, let's go to Meg, New York City. That's where she's from. And we'll all be there next Thanksgiving because Solomon's Band is going to be performing there. Hey, Meg,
oh,
how
fun.
Are you today?
Hi, how are you?
Excellent. Yeah, we're going to be there for the Macy's Day Parade. Very excited about that.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So how can we help? What's going on?
Well, I'm calling in just out of a little advice here. I grew up in a strong Christian family. I have a brother and a sister. My dad is a pretty well-known pastor in the U.S., so it makes it sometimes a little tough. But basically, my brother, you know, I was always the wild child, you know, very rebellious growing up, and then, you know, turned my life around fairly young and got married, had kids, and have walked with the Lord since. My sister has always walked with the Lord, never walked away. My brother was always an extremely strong Christian up until, like, his later years. He got married out of college to a wonderful Christian woman, and then he started to kind of fall away from the Lord. And then he got to the place where he would say he's not a believer at all. He doesn't believe in God or Christianity and, you know, wants nothing to do with it. So basically, my question is, we found out he's been living a bit of a double life. and he's been cheating on his wife for over 10 years with
wow.
many, many, many women. Not just a few. lots and lots of women. Kind of almost every week that he goes away on his work trip. So basically, long story short is we...
Hold that. I've got to go to a break.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. And so we're talking here all the way from New York. Meg, and the brother is cheating. Now, the dilemma probably is, well, what are people telling you about the cheating? Are they telling you confront him and or tell the wife or what?
No, so basically he got caught, and the family drama involving this is everybody dropped everything, came to the rescue of both of them in the hopes that he was going to change. He was promising a lot of change.
Yeah.
So, of course, we're all forgiving, very forgiving family. We wanted to basically see the prodigal son, you know, come back home.
Right.
And everybody was super excited that he seemed to be like, okay, like, I want to change my life. I want to give my life back to the Lord. Started going back to church. His wife was willing to work through it, even though she was really, really struggling, rightfully so.
Sure.
I mean,
all right.
You know, that's a lot. I mean, that's a crazy amount of stuff to get over.
Okay, so get to the question for us then.
Okay, so the question for you guys is, he ended up saying, again, he wants nothing to do with any of this, kind of going back to his old ways, but without supposedly cheating again. But my parents are continuing to... kind of back him and enable him in certain areas and allowing him to keep saying he's changing and then coming back. And then me and my sister are kind of at the place where we're like, hey, look, at this point, you know, you need to prove change. But we're being told we're not being supportive and compassionate by not completely, you know, just believing this again.
Who's telling you that, Meg? Who's telling you that?
Yeah.
Our parents.
Okay.
So what is the question then for us?
Well, just trying to figure out, like, because now every behavior, and there's a lot more to the story that he's done that's really not good stuff, but, like, all of the behaviors that he's done for the past 10 years that have not only affected his wife and his own children, but me, my sister, our families as well, are now being excused with the fact that, oh, we found out he's had a sex addiction, and he's been into pornography since he was 11 years old.
Okay, so let's...
And everything he did was because of that. And
okay,
I'm saying, but...
Yeah. Well, let's say it is. So what's he doing about this thing that has caused so much damage? Is he getting treatment? Is he in a recovery program?
Yeah.
Is he going to meetings every 2 a week? What's he doing?
Yeah. So finally, this last time of, you know, his wife finally said, that's it, I'm leaving you. You're not changing. You're lying and not changing. He did decide to say, okay, this time I really am changing, and I do believe in God again, and went and now started doing meetings at sex addiction meetings, and then some he's been meeting with a therapist for sex addiction. And doing some church programs. So
what is the dilemma then? He's getting help.
Yep. So it's that my sister and I's standpoint is we've been there, done that with this with him, where he's pretended this before, and, you know, we drop everything and run to their rescue every time something new comes up that he gets caught for when he relapses again.
Yeah.
Do we continue to constantly just be there, or do we say, look, this time you need to get the help that you really need, and we're backing off a little bit to make sure that there's a real change there before we just continue to throw our families to the wayside to run to you?
Well, you shouldn't do that anyway. Under any circumstance, you shouldn't throw your family to the wayside to run to this person. Becky, go ahead.
Well, in recovery, the challenge is that we all have our own side of the street to work. And so your frustration is coming from the fact that your brother keeps saying that he's doing the work and the evidence shows otherwise. But the real problem is, Meg, the feelings that you and your sister have of this kind of, we're all lumped in this together. We're either completely supportive or we're cast aside as not supportive. And it just doesn't feel right. So I would encourage you to begin your own work in understanding how to disentangle from the drama, how to be supportive, but yet also be aware. We talk about this a lot of times, this detachment that comes when you start to understand this is the struggle that your brother has. It is not going to go away next week, and it may take longer than, I mean, if he's been acting out for 10 years, I guarantee there was something going on even before the 10-year mark that he was unaware of. There's just a lot of sickness that he has to address. But I would encourage your whole family to begin doing work on, it could be everything from codependency work or just life recovery work in general, just to begin to understand recovery principles, what is expected of you, and what is the healthy way to go forward. Because if he can do the work, that's going to be great, but you're also going to have this resentment and hurt that you've got to get rid of.
Now, right. Here's the thing. When people are truly dealing with a sexual addiction, it's not an excuse for anything.
Right.
It's a reason to feel tremendous remorse and wanting to make things right. There's no mystery when a person is recovering in an addiction recovery program. You see the direction they're headed. In other words, it's not reserved to a meeting or two. It starts to infect all parts of their life, and you see it and feel it. Mm-hmm. I want to hear from Mylan when we come back from this break, so hold on. You know, really, anytime somebody says, okay, I'm going to do this now, you sure do want to have that good old what-if clause. Okay, yeah, you go do this now, but what if we don't see change? What if you relapse? What are you willing to do then? This is a case that if this guy had been in every man's battle last weekend, we probably wouldn't be getting this call today, because almost every guy makes a change for the good. We'll be back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zippered Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Wanted to hear from Mylan because this whole thing about...
One more thing, too.
Oh, please, Becky, jump right in there.
I'm so sorry. I one of the things I was thinking on the break, Meg, there is such a thing called betrayal trauma. Your whole family has experienced this now. Your brother was somebody who you thought it was completely different than he is. And so it really affects you on every level. And it's normal that you're going to feel the grief and the sadness and the doubt. And then just wonder, what did we think? Like, who is this person that is my brother? Like, I don't even understand this. And we've actually had women who have come to our Restore workshop to deal with members of their family, whether it's, it might not be their spouse, but it might be their brother, it might be their father, because betrayal trauma does disrupt the way that we think and affects our relationships. So I just wanted to add that one cent, two cents, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Mylan, do you have more than 2 cents?
I do, and Becky, I was going to say, that's far worth far more than 2 cents, okay? I just want to say that. Just a couple of things, Meg. It what is troubling to me is the extent to which your sister and you are still tied into your parents. You see, when we're supposed to leave and cleave, which means we're supposed to create a very, if you will, final separation from parents, emotionally, spiritually, physically, literally, financially, and we're supposed to bond or weld to a spouse. And it's how God creates a new family unit. And so really, there feels like there's still a big gravitational field that you're having to respond to. And your dad's voice is perhaps powerful, as it would be, because he's your dad. But it may be occupying too much room in your head or to move you. And so that's thought number one, is that you shouldn't, as Steve already said, leave your own family to go run and rescue your brother. Just as an aside here, he's had an addiction since he was 14. So it's more than cheating. He's been lying. He's been deceiving. He's been, you know, I'm sure there's financial improprieties. I'm sure there's all kinds of things going on. There could even be addictions going on. Yeah. And so this is a person that, it's just more than an affair or cheating. Lastly, I would just have to ask the question, and maybe it'd be good for you to ask your dad, just not in front of a lot of people, but, you know, maybe with just you and your husband, or why, mm-hmm. what is pushing you so hard to be compassionate? Why do you want to be soft on your son? Why do you want to catch him every time he falls? And I am not suggesting this at all, Megan, but I am saying that a lot of people who want to be compassionate towards sin are themselves stuck in that same sin often. And we would just have to ask that question. It begs the question. His hard fight to just protect is something that's a bit disturbing to me.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I have that same gut reaction about it.
Wow. Okay, so that's two of us. And so I would really want to stop and investigate that.
Yeah. I'm really glad that you called, and I think that all of this is compounded by what you said, that your father is a well-respected pastor. And, you know, anybody raised by a well-respected pastor is more likely to make some unique adjustments based on that. And it makes it harder to leave, like Mylon's talking about. But what a gift this would be if, no matter what happens with brother, you and your sister said, it's time for us to establish our independence through all of this.
Yep. Good job.
Let me send you a copy of this Healing is a Choice book. It's helped a lot of different people. And I want to send you How We Love, because I just think if you've read it, maybe Dad ought to read it, or
can we add one more book, Steve?
Sure.
I'm thinking Every Man's Battle, and give it to your brother. Say, here, this is where you can start.
Yeah.
And I just, you know.
Great idea.
It's very complex.
Yep, it really is. Well, speaking of complex, Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio, and he is a numbers guy with a heart that's hard to number, and it's a big heart.
Thank you.
And that's a complex combination, and we're so glad that you have that, Larry.
Well,
what do you want to share with us? You were at Every Man's Battle this past weekend.
Yep. I was. There's a few things about that, not just about that. Three things I want to cover. One is Every Man's Battle. Phenomenal workshop, once again. I mean, it sounds, you know, you go there and you think, how can this be as good as the last one? Yeah. It ends up being better, and it just keeps getting better. And the better is because we see God's Holy Spirit do a work every time.
And these guys are battling sex addiction.
Boy, are they ever. Yes. Let me just, I want to read part of a testimony from one, and I want to talk about a couple other workshops quickly. This weekend started as a group of strangers sitting in a room, and by day three, I feel like I have a band of brothers surrounding me. I came here with a lot of shame and with a lot of baggage that for a majority of my life, I kept pushed way down in my heart. This weekend taught me that I'm not alone, and that by bringing past hurt and struggles into the light, that I have so much more freedom to be had. One of the lies of the enemy is that I'm unredeemable and that I should just deal with my struggles on my own. This weekend further affirmed the importance of brotherhood and community. So, guys, if you're thinking about a workshop because you've had some sexual integrity issues, you don't have to call it addiction, but you've been struggling. This is a workshop for you. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to support a ministry that is really reaching out and God is doing a lot of good stuff, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
We had 8 out of 48 guys that turned things in were a scholarship to this workshop.
Hmm. Wow, that's so good.
And this that I just read was a scholarship.
Hmm.
So thank you for giving scholarships, and folks, we don't want money to get in the way, so if you need your help and you're afraid of money, give us a call.
Yeah, and you know, just as powerful is the Restore workshop for...
Yes.
And one of the things that we're just seeing more and more of, we're seeing more and more women traumatized. Sometimes they're drug into pornography by the husband or boyfriend, and then they get stuck with that. And, you know, we've got emotional freedom to help you. We want to help everybody.
Steve, we've got 5 workshops between now and the end of February.
Wow.
That's a lot of workshops.
That's an opportunity.
We've got parenting. We've got every man's battle again. We've got emotional freedom, intimacy in marriage, and restore. And they are all life-changing. And each time I go to any of those, it's the best thing we do here.
Yeah. Well, of course, Mylon and I will be doing intimacy in marriage with his wife, Kay. And it is, even though Fred Stoker and I wrote Every Man's Battle, this marriage workshop, this intensive, is my favorite because it deals with two people that often have children. And it just impacts generation after generation. You only need 2 things to come. We will do everything we can to overcome a financial thing. So don't let that be it. But one is you need to be able to say, I have an extreme limitation. Whether it's my marriage or my addiction or my lust, I can't fix this myself. And then the second thing you need is to be willing to get some help. That's it. Just if you could see it's not going to happen, get better on your own, and then just call us and let us find the help you need. And it's astounding how much progress you can make in a weekend because we have these counselors there along with the material that we keep revising and perfecting so it's the best material to give you the best help in the least amount of time. And the phone number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if you want to scholarship somebody so you are responsible for generations to come to being better, that same number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Anything else you want to add, Larry?
No, just thank you, everybody who has been giving, and thank you if you're going to start today. God
bless. All right,
you.
Let's go back to the phones, and how about we talk with Joe? Well, there's music. So, Joe, I'll say hi to you, and hang on, you'll get to hear the same music we've been listening to for decades. And we're happy to be listening to that. But you hang on, Joe. You are listening to New Life Live. Mylon Yurkovich, he's the author of How We Love with his wife Kay. There's a workbook. And so many people have literally changed the way they counsel because of this material that Mylon and Kay have made so understandable. Many wounds can be seen, felt, and really resolved because somebody began seeing it from a different perspective with How We Love. And that's available, one of our resources there. Also, if you don't have a Life Recovery Bible, you've heard me say December, Life Recovery Bible and Every Man's Bible, both the best-selling study Bibles for December. We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. You know, a lot of ministries have crummy stuff that they give you. when you join Club New Life, this bag, this tote bag is really cool. And if you go on the YouTube channel, you can see it there. It's part of the new member thank you gift. We give you the 365-day life recovery prayer devotional book. We give you a pen. We give you a life recovery Bible, a journal. And it's really incredible. But the bag is worth the thank you. $30 a month, and it changes people's lives for good. Well, let's go back to the phones, and we were talking with Joe here. Well, we actually weren't, but we did get to hear him make a sound into the microphone. Joe, how you doing, and how could we help you?
I'm doing as good as possible. Just got a lot going on my plate right now.
And okay.
Was driving. I was going to go just pray and put the radio channel on. I heard you guys, and I'm like, I got to call him. That's where I'm at. Mm.
Well, what's going on?
Well, sorry about the crying.
That's okay. Mm. And I think it's so good that you are crying.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful.
Right now, I'm dealing with a lot of anger. And I've just been having a lot of things I'm dealing with. You know, I'm married 27 years and 5 children. And some still live at home. And some of the stresses of that is eating away at me and my wife and I, and I'm having trouble keeping my anger down over stuff and kind of flying off the wall. But I just want to be done with it.
Yeah. Hey, I got a question for you that doesn't relate to anger but might, okay? You ready?
Sure.
If you had a piece of paper in front of you and someone said you've got 30 seconds to write down the most insightful answer to this possible, what would it be if I asked you to write down, what do you think is your biggest fear in life right now? What's the biggest fear you have?
Well, obviously, you know, losing my family.
And are you thinking your anger is going to cause that to happen?
Oh, we're pretty close to that right now.
Okay.
And I know there's obviously things in my past I haven't dealt with.
Like what?
That is, well, since I was,
Well, he was cut off or hung up or something.
If you can still hear us, Joe, call back.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, there's a man that's in pain,
mm-hmm.
and he's talking about his anger, and it's caused a division. He thinks the marriage is going to die because of that anger. And I think we've all been there with some kind of anger. I don't know, maybe he's back. Maybe, or is he back? Can we get Joe back on?
Yeah, he's here.
Okay, Joe.
My phone got goofy.
So, Becky, you were... I wanted
him to call back, and I'm glad you did, Joe. I actually want to defer to Mylon because I was thinking about, Mylon, what you always talk about, the stressors and then the reactivity that comes from that, but also the ruptures without repairs. I am listing all your bullet points, but yeah. I just think this is a case where that is going on in Joe's family.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you, Becky. You know, Joe, you really kind of nailed it. You said, I have issues from my past that I haven't resolved. And when we get stressed, and also we can get triggered, because something in the present reminds us of something that hurt us in the past, or the pressure and the overall, just the stress of having to hold up a family. I don't know how many of your kids are still living at home and what their ages are, but you can just hit a point where you don't know what to do any more than just rage, because mm-hmm. that's all you've ever known how to handle things yeah. when you're stressed. Steve asked a wonderful question. He said, well, what would be a very big fear? And it would be losing my family. So here you are in a tension of being stressed by the very family you blow up at, yet you're afraid you're going to lose them. And so, because right. you're blowing up. And so, really, several things have to happen, and of course, Steve and Becky should comment on this too. It's, you know, how old are your kids at the house? What are they doing? What are the responsibilities? How much are they contributing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And there needs to be balances.
Mid-20s.
Yeah.
Low 20s. And
who pays to feed them?
They, two of them do pay some. For the most part, though, they don't do much around the house.
Okay. So what you have there is you have adult sons and daughters that are still thinking they're children. They can still hang out at mom and dad's and the refrigerator's always full, et cetera, et cetera. And there's a strategy you need to do to make sure that by X period of time, they leave, because you have to do that in order to maintain your sanity. Number two.
Yeah, I tried. My wife doesn't want to do that.
Okay. See, but that's where then you need to get in some couples work to say, you know, what's being pulled here? You know, the nurturing element in your wife is overpowering the marital moment, you know, the marital aspects. And she needs to understand, our goal is to be temporary parents. And when the kids get older, we're supposed to let them go. And they're supposed to go. If they don't, then that's going to be a major hindrance to the whole family system. But, Joe, you said it. You need to work on your history. You were hurt, and I'm going to guess, and you said it first. This is triggering up old feelings of hurt, fear, anxiety, and rage. And well, I think you really need to work on that.
Now, because we are out of time, here's what I'm going to do. It's obvious that you have this emotional pain and anger. So I'm going to give you a scholarship to go to our emotional freedom workshop.
Oh, that's good.
It's online.
Great idea.
It's the 22nd. I'm also, because you've got problems with your adult children, I'm going to give you and your wife a scholarship to go to our Fearless Parenting Workshop, which is the 29th of January. And that's going to help you with some of these adult children issues. And then the final thing I'm going to do is in February, weekend of the 13th, or Valentine's weekend, I believe it's 11, 12, and 13, I'm going to scholarship you and your wife to intimacy in marriage.
Wow.
And
you're like Oprah today, Steve. Like,
you know, well, I'm not giving him any money, but I hear the pain, and I think it's an example of how we have so many things that can help a family, an individual, right, a couple, and I want him to experience three of them right here.
And you know, when we're overwhelmed like Joe is, we get confused, mm-hmm, about, yeah, what to do. And we don't know what our resources are. So, Joe, this is such a great opportunity for healing for your family, mm-hmm, and to take care of some of the stress that you're dealing with.
Mm. And thank you to all of you who support us, that allow us to do these kinds of things for folks that are really in need. Now, if you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if you can help us, same thing, and we'll send you this 365-day life recovery prayer devotional. If you want to join us on the next program, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Thank you, Mylon and Becky. Thanks to all of you who listen, watch, and pray.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.